1 Corinthians chapter 10. All right, as you can see, the title of this message is Escape Artists. We live in a day and age where the notion of escaping is kind of a fascination of ours. I'm sure that most of you, if not all of you, have heard of escape rooms. Has anybody here ever been to an escape room before? I know at least a few of you have been. College and career is probably gone and whatnot. I've never personally been to one, but it looks like it'd be a fun thing. But if you, anybody here watch America's Got Talent and you're willing to admit it, America's Got Talent? Come on, the preacher's obviously admitting to it because I'm going to tell you what's on it. America's Got Talent, at least a few of those are always, they're escape artists, are some of the talents that they're showing out there. And they do all kinds of stuff. You know, I almost, for the image, you know, we create these PowerPoints for the images and whatnot and all kinds of ideas. I almost put a straitjacket on there as the image because that's the whole idea, you know, a straitjacket. You tie yourself up in a straitjacket and then you wrap as many chains around you as you can, put as many locks on the chain, and then hang yourself upside down and then lock the chains around your feet that are attached to the hanging mechanism, and then start the rope on fire so that you only have so much time to actually get yourself all out of all those things, and then lower yourself down into the aquarium of water where there's alligators and sharks and things, you know, or pythons or who knows what it is. And of course, we're fascinated by it, and it's really an interesting thing to watch. Everybody's on the edge of their seats just to see if these escape artists can actually get out of the predicament that they willingly put themselves into, and maybe even foolishly. Who's the most famous escape artist that we know of? Harry Houdini. And how did that work out for him? Unfortunately, not all too well. But Harry Houdini, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." We are instructed, in order to run the race of faith that God has placed us in, and that we have even willingly stepped into, if you have called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. In order to run that race, we are instructed to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. What person in their right mind running a sprint or a marathon would put weights around his or her ankles? It wouldn't make any sense. It might help in training, it might help in practice, but when you are actually running the race, it makes no sense to put as much weight on you as you can. And some even shave their heads to get as much weight off of them as they can and to keep the wind from slowing them down. Well, we are also supposed to lay aside the sin which doth so easily beset us. The sin which doth so easily beset us. The word beset means this: to press on all sides so as to perplex. We're supposed to lay aside the sin that doth so easily beset us. Just because if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that doesn't mean that you don't still have sin problems in your life. And really, when we think about it, and our enemy knows this, our adversary, the devil, who is walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, he just as much knows this, that there are certain sins that very easily perplex us. And where our adversary can tempt us with those sins and kind of crash in on us on all sides, so that even though we believe in a true and a righteous and a holy God, we still meddle in those sins and we become unclean, as we have previously talked about. It means to press on all sides so as to perplex. And when you think about that, many of us are dealing with sins where we just are perplexed about those besetting sins. We just don't know what to do about those sins that so easily beset us. We don't know how to get the victory. We seem to fall into that same sin over and over and over again, even though we realize and we understand that that sin is a transgression against the holy God. And even though we feel guilt, and even though we feel sorrow for committing those sins, and even though we may have confessed those sins, We are perplexed because just as a dog returns to his vomit, the proverb says, we return to our sins, and the fool returns to his folly. To beset means to entangle, and that's what sin does. It entangles you. Sin gets its cords wrapped around you so much so that Proverbs says that many strong men have been slain by her and that they are holden with the cords of their sins. Wrapped up in such a way where it could even be just that little small sin that you've been meddling with for so long that it wraps itself around you over and over and over again. And instead of just trying to break free from one strand, you're trying to break free from what seemingly is a whole rope of string. And we get perplexed because we get entangled with it. And we often can't function as we should as a Christian in our faith, in our walk with God. But this is what beset also means. It's to press on all sides so as to perplex, to entangle, so as to render escape difficult or impossible in this definition. That's what beset means. It's when the Bible refers to, in Hebrews chapter 12, sin that does so easily beset us, it is sin that is rendering escape difficult or seemingly impossible. You know what we do when we meddle with sin in our lives? We put the straitjacket on. And then we wrap the chains all around us. And then we lock each and every lock that we can and throw the key away or stuff it in our pocket where it's hard to get to. And then we hang ourselves upside down and we light the ropes on fire. And then we lower ourselves into the aquarium. And all of a sudden, escape seems almost impossible. And it becomes frustrating. The Bible, it instructs us to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so, and this is the frustrating word, so easily beset us. The sin that just so easily beset us. That no matter, even if we know how awful that sin is, the temptation of sin can be so appealing sometimes and can push just the right buttons and can just be an attraction to us in such a specific way that we could just be finished reading our Bible or having an hour prayer session or coming home from church, and that temptation flashes before our eyes and we jump in both feet and embrace it. So easily beset us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is our text. In verse 12, read with me where it says this, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." We would be fools to say that we can handle any sin that the devil throws our way. I can stand up against that sin. That's no problem. We would be fools to say that. Because our adversary, once again, is a roaring lion, according to 1 Peter. A roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And he knows exactly what our weakness is. He knows exactly what easily besets us. And we would be a fool to stand tall and to stand proud and to say, I'm bigger than that, I'm stronger than that. We would be a fool to do so. Why? Because wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. But verse 13 says this, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. If you have sin in your life this morning, and if you are facing temptation that is seemingly impossible to escape from, then I'd like to speak to you this morning. If you are frustrated with sin and with unrighteousness and wickedness in your life, that you honestly, you know, you just need to get it out, but you just can't seem to shake it. You just can't seem to get it out. Then this message is for you. To be tempted means to be enticed to evil, to be provoked or tried, to be enticed to do those things that we should not do. And I just want to look at a few of these points in verse 13 before we get to the points of our outline, where it says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Sometimes temptations are so personal in nature. it seems as though we are the only ones that are facing that temptation and suffering from it. And so often we get down on ourselves and we beat ourselves up and we feel like we're the only one in the world who has to escape from this seemingly impossible situation. The good news is that you're not. You are not the only one. The Bible says there is no temptation, no temptation that hath taken you, but such as is common to man. Take your Bible and turn to Galatians, just a couple books over. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. This is the instruction that we are given in Galatians chapter 6. It starts out very similar to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, where it says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." This is the way that it's supposed to be. And if you have a chance, turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is the way it's supposed to be. We are not supposed to be in this battle alone. We're not supposed to be fighting temptation alone. The sad truth of the matter is, though, but because of how taboo sin can be and how shameful sin can be, many of us find ourselves fighting sin and temptation all by ourselves. Brethren, these things ought not so to be. You want to know why? Because there hath no temptation that has taken you, but such as is common to man. It's a shame when Christians look at other Christians and see perhaps things that are meddling with, and all of a sudden get that very tall, proud look of self-righteousness and say, "How dare he?" or "How dare she?" And you know what they're really saying when they do that? "I would never do that. I can't believe they're doing that." You know what that sounds like? "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." We are not in this battle to get alone. We are supposed to be escaping together, leaning on one another, bearing one another's burdens, knowing that that could be our fate and that could be our temptation as well, encouraging each other and lifting each other up and offering the support of faith and prayer so that we can help our brothers and sisters in Christ escape. But you know what that means also? Is that for those of us who are suffering from temptation, seemingly impossible to escape, you know what we need to do? We need to be honest. And we need to allow ourselves to become vulnerable and reach out to those who care for us and for those who love us and say, "Can you please help? Because I can't beat this and I need it." And you can do that simply because of this fact that there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Don't despair. You're not in this alone. And despite the fact that you're not in this alone, keep reading where it says this next phrase, and we could park here and bank on this all morning long and be encouraged, where it says, "But God is faithful." The discouraging thing is that there's temptation that is common to man that we will continue to have to deal with. But the encouraging word is that God is faithful. But God. Where there's so many situations in our life where if we would just insert "but God," it would fix a whole lot of problems. But God is faithful. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." And this is the victory. Who here wants victory over their sin? Who here wants victory over their temptation, over the seemingly impossible struggles of life that seem to get in between us and God? And I raise my hand with you. I want the victory. It says, "And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Your first step of escape is faith in a faithful God. You have got to have faith in God. You're not going to beat your sin. You are not going to escape temptation on your own. You're not going to do it. You might do it temporarily. If you are without God, you might have success in this life temporarily, but I will tell you this, when you stand before God in judgment, you will not escape your sin then. You must have God in your life. You have got to have faith in Him, and that is where your victory comes from. I love 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Listen to what this says. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. It's so simple, isn't it? So many of us are wondering, how do I get rid of this problem in my life? How do I get rid of this struggle? How do I get rid of this this temptation, this sin? You know where your answer is? It's in the Lord. That's where your answer is. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. You need to have faith in God. And stop trying to do it on your own. Stop trying to find all the answers out there or in the self-help books or in your own strength, seemingly as it might be, and go to God. Because God knows how to give you your escape. He knows how to deliver you from your temptation. 1 Timothy chapter 10 says this, not only but God is faithful, but it says, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. You know what that is saying there? That there is no sin in your life that you cannot get victory over. There is no temptation in your life that you cannot escape from. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 26 says, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. You can have confidence in what God is saying here, that He is faithful and He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. There is no such thing as a temptation that you are not able to bear, period. That's just all there is to it. Your sin should never be acceptable to you with the excuse, I just can't beat it, so I'm just going to have to learn to live with it. Why? Because there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Every temptation and every sin in your life, it ought to be your goal, and you ought to strive to succeed in escaping from that temptation until the day that you die or until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Never accept your sin. Never accept the awfulness and the temptation of sin just because you just can't seem to escape from it. And so I'm just going to accept it and allow it to be, and we'll see what happens. Don't do that, because you can bear it. God has provided a way. And then this is the final phrase as we get into the outline. It says this, but will with the temptation also make a way to what? To escape. I want to encourage you all to be escape artists this morning. And you may be all wrapped up. You may be all entangled. You may be perplexed by your temptation. You may be beset by your sin, and easily so. But you can't escape through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't escape through God. And we're going to look at four quick things of how we can escape temptation that God has provided us. And the first is to pray away. Just pray away. When temptation comes into your life, you know what you should do? You should pray. Before temptation comes into your life, you know what you should do? Can I hear it? Pray. You should pray. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You know, there's just something about praying where the Bible says pray without ceasing, and I think there's something to that. Pray without ceasing, and Jesus says here that men ought always to pray and not to faint, because when you have your mind on God and on Jesus Christ, and when you're filling thoughts of Him in communion and fellowship and prayer in your heart, how is there even room for sin in a moment like that? Do you understand what I'm saying? Temptation and sin, I understand, is so strong, but your odds of escaping that temptation increase dramatically if you are in constant prayer and fellowship with God. If you are enamored with Him and you are often at His feet communing with Him and praying to Him, letting your requests be made known unto Him, giving Him thanksgiving and glorifying His name, praying for others, if you are in constant prayer, there's just something about that moment where sin just isn't going to fit in. It might try. There may be a distraction, but it has got a mighty foe to go up against if you are in God's presence. We ought to pray away. A boy named Alexander was trying to save all the pennies he could to buy a baseball bat, but he had a hard struggle. One night, his mother heard him say fervently, and as we all are supposed to do, "Oh Lord, please help me save my money for a baseball bat, and God, don't let the ice cream man come down the street ever again." I mean, isn't that it? We have such desire and we have such intention of living for God and immersing ourselves in a life of faith because there is so much potential there, so much that God can do through us. But then what happens? Temptation gets in the way. It's like we're saving up for that baseball bat. We got these visions of getting out there on the baseball diamond and swinging away and hitting that home run. And then all of a sudden, oh, there he is, Mr. Frosty. You know, that perilous, whatever noise that is that comes out of the trucks coming down the street. So irresistible at Fish Creek Ponds is where we like to go for our vacation. And every day, there's the ice cream truck and they have the little ding-a-ling-a-ding bell. Every evening. There's so much more to, but that's what sin does. Sin is something that you meddle with that comes at a cost. Temptation. If you are going to put aside the escape opportunities that you have to meddle with sin, it's going to cost you something. And you know what's going to help you escape that temptation to not have to pay that price? Prayer is going to help you. You've got to pray. Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. "After this manner, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And for those of you who know the rest, or at least the next phrase, say it with me. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." This is how the Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray, to proactively and actively, daily. We know it's a daily prayer. How do we know it's a daily prayer? "Give us this day our daily bread." Every day that you wake up, and I even encourage you, even before you open your eyes and you step out of bed, amongst these other things that the Lord Jesus Christ has taught us to pray about, in prayer, ask the Lord to not deliver you into temptation. And if he does, to deliver you from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When was the last time you prayed that prayer? It says in Luke chapter 22, this was when they were in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says that Jesus came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." Lord, lead me not into temptation, but help me not to enter into temptation either. You know how much strength and how much help there is in prayer? Don't ever underestimate prayer as being an escape route from the temptations and the sins that come into your life. Pray. I mean, when that temptation all of a sudden pops up on the screen or it turns around the corner or it's sitting there in your living room, whatever it might be, when that temptation comes up, you know what you should do? You should get on your knees, or you should just close your eyes, or you should just kind of do that prayer that's in a moment and say, "God, please help me." In prayer, not to fall into this temptation. Help me overcome this temptation and this sin in my life. And let him give you the victory. And for so many of us, I think it just sounds a little bit too easy, probably. I think some are probably thinking, "Do you think that's really going to help me overcome that perplexing sin that I've been dealing with for so long? Really? this is what I'll say. Go ahead and try it. Go ahead and try it. Why? Because that is what the Lord instructed us to do. It's your way of escape. You can pray away and you can find an escape from temptation. Not only that, but do this, hide away. Hide away. Turn to Psalms chapter 119. I want to encourage you this morning, in order to be an escape artist from the perplexing, besetting sins in our life, I want to encourage you to hide away. Psalms chapter 119. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's a popular or familiar verse for many of us. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because the devil, who has some pretty slick devices, and oh, by the way, again, is a roaring lion and really wants to just devour you, he's coming after you. So put on the whole armor of God. Make no mistake about it. One of the armors, the elements of the armor that we are told about, is the sword of the Spirit, which Ephesians chapter 6 says is the Word of God. It's the Bible. Many of us would think of a sword as an offensive weapon. I'm going to take a sword and I'm actually going to go after the enemy with it. Well, just as much as it is an offensive weapon, the sword is also a defensive weapon to protect you and to give you defense from the wiles of the devil. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So when that devil comes at me, when he comes at you, when his mouth is wide open and his roar is fierce and ferocious, you know what you want in that moment in time? In addition to prayer, you want a real sharp sword. A sword that is sharper than any other two-edged sword. So that as that devil comes, and as he comes to devour you, and that temptation starts to entice you, and it starts to beset you on every side, and you become more and more entangled, that sword can help you give the victory and have escape in your life. Psalms chapter 119, verse 11, here it is. We've talked about the word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not, what's that next word? Sin against thee. Hide away. I want to encourage you. This is an escape route for you when you have temptation in your life. That thing, or even those things, those many besetting sins that are just are getting the best of you day in and day out, or week in and week out, I want to encourage you to escape by hiding the word of God in your heart. Why? Because it's quick and it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. How do you hide the word of God in your heart? Well, number one, you have to read it. You have to become familiar with it. You have to know what it says. Are you hiding the word of God in your heart? Are you knowing it? Are you reading it? And then in addition to that, this is taking things to the next level. We always encourage our young people downstairs, and we give them incentives like we like to do here at Calvary Heights Baptist Church, saying here, you can win a candy bar if you memorize such and such a verse. And then all of a sudden we grow up, we get into the teen class, and there's still that element of memorizing verses. But then all of a sudden, I dare say that after teen class, just as my experience and observation, then all of a sudden after teen class, we seem to have graduated from the need of memorizing Scripture. And it's really interesting that for some reason, I guess maybe we think that we are strong enough and we can stand now and we're not going to fall, and so it's not as necessary. And I don't know if that's what we're actually thinking, but that's what we're communicating. You know what we should do? We should hide the Word of God in our heart by memorizing it. So this is the idea. Do you have a problem with care and worry and being anxious? You know, there's a verse in the Bible that can help you escape that. The verse is this. It's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Do you know what it says? For those of you who are full of care, for those of you who just seem to always be burdened down and you can't get away from the care that is overwhelming you, you are tempted by that worrisome spirit. You lay your head down on your pillow at night, you close your eyes, and all you want to do is rest, but you can't stop worrying. Do you struggle with that temptation? 1 Peter says this in chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him. for he careth for you. When you have that, if you are full of care, and you have that verse, that word in your heart, tucked away in there, hidden away in there where nobody can take it away, ready in a moment's notice, so when that wear and that curry, that wear and that curry, help me out here now. When that care and that worry is just coming on you all of a sudden in a moment's notice, you know what one of the best things you can do is? Quote 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know what that's actually telling you to do? It's telling you to pray. Cast all your care upon him. It's what we talked about in Sunday school this morning. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. That's what it's telling you to do. Why? Because God is faithful and he cares for you. The creator of the universe has time for you. He cares for you. You know what you should do in that moment of temptation? Pull that verse out of your heart. If you have a problem with fornication, you know what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3? Maybe you have a problem with looking at things you shouldn't look at, getting on the internet or watching things on the television or just thinking in your heart and lusting after things in your heart that you shouldn't lust after. That's a temptation. Oh, dear God, help us, that has overcome so many. So many aren't able. Strong men have been slain by her, it says in Proverbs. Strong men. You know, there's a verse for that. You know what that makes me think of in the moment? You know there's an app for that? You know, there's all this stuff that's out there, and oh, there's an app for that. There's the coolest app that we recently found. It's called Skyview, and it gives you kind of this real-time look in the night sky of where the stars are, of what star you are looking at. And as you turn, it turns with you. You go camping, or if you're in a beautiful night sky, I would encourage you. There's an app for that. You got trouble with fornication? There's a verse for that. For those of you who are struggling with it, memorize 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Do you care what God's will is in your life? If you truly and honestly do, then that verse should be an escape route for you, that when you are tempted to lust in your heart, that you would say, no, I'm not going to do that. Why? Because it's not God's will for me in my life. There's a verse for that. What about this? Do you have a problem with impatience? James chapter 5, verse 11 says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. I just picked that one out. There's more. You got a problem with patience? Hide that in your heart. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, do you have a problem with being fearful, of just looking what's around you and not necessarily just worrying about things and being full of care, but are you tempted with that spirit of fear that literally sends you into a nosedive where all around you, you're afraid to turn any which way? And the spirit of fear is sapping all the faith out of you that you ever once had. Do you have trouble with that? The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Memorize that verse. And when you are struggling, dig deep down into the treasures of the Word of God that you have stored away in your heart. Pull it out and let it be an escape for you from temptation so that you don't fall into sin. Not only this, don't be confused by this one, all right? But pass away, all right? I'm not talking about dying. I'm not saying kill yourself, all right? So please, turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. I want to encourage you all to be escape artists this morning by praying away and hiding away when that temptation comes. And I want to encourage you to pass away also. Proverbs chapter 4. This will help you avoid so much trouble in your life if you can get this down. The word escape means this. It means to flee from and avoid. It means to get out of the way or to shun, to keep clear of, not to fall on or come in contact with. There's two parts in there that I want to point out. It's to avoid. To escape is to avoid, and is to not even come in contact with something. Now look at Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. This is going to talk about the wicked and the way of evil men, which is something that we all should stay away from. That's wherein the temptations begin, to lead us away into the way of the wicked and evil men. And look at what Proverbs chapter 4 says in verse 14. Don't even enter into the path. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Verse 15, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and there it is, pass away. You know what we are instructed to do and which will prevent you from falling into so much temptation? It's don't even put yourself in the place of temptation in the first place. That's what so many of us do. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13, verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know what we do? We provide for our temptation. That's what we do as Christians. We provide for our temptation. We provide for our lust, even though we know we should not do it, and even though we even have intentions to stay away from it. We put ourselves in such a way where we set the table, and then we lay out the opportunity, and there the temptation is right in front of us. You know what the Bible says? Don't even set the table. Avoid it entirely. Don't even go into the path of the wicked. Pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Leslie E. Duncan once learned a lesson from a dog that he had as a child. His father used to put a bit of meat or biscuit on the floor near the dog and say no to the dog. And the dog knew he must not touch it. This is the key right here. But the dog never looked at the meat. He seemed to feel that if he did so, the temptation to disobey would be too great if he even just looked at it. So he looked steadily at the master's face. And there's a lesson that we all can learn from there. Is that if we would just keep ourselves away from sin and temptation entirely, and I understand that there's sometimes it's unavoidable. I understand that. I understand that sometimes it flashes across the screen, or there's the billboard driving down the road, or there's the magazine racks, or your kids are just overwhelmingly annoying and leading you to your wits' ends. I understand that sometimes it's unavoidable, but I guarantee you that there are many temptations that you face that you could have stayed away from altogether if you would have just kept your eyes on the master's face. Don't even go there. Provide not for your temptation. And you know what that's going to take? You know what? We just don't want to give up so many of the things we enjoy in life. Even if it means that it keeps us in the presence of the provision for our lusts. I don't know what to say. I'm guilty. But you know what God says? Just stay away from it altogether. Who here would have the character and the integrity to say, this is a problem for me, and it's not worth it to transgress against the God that I believe in? I'm going to take it away altogether. I'm going to take away even those tools and the devices that the devil would use to bring that temptation into my life. There's not much time left in the sermon right now because there's so many examples and illustrations that we could throw out there. And you're probably going to be happy that we're going to move on to the next point here real quick. But you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know what the tools are. You know what the devices are. And I'm not even using the word device to say phone or computer. I'm talking about the devil's wiles, his darts. You know what they are. Stay away from them altogether. And then this is the one that I think we'll all appreciate. Run away. Run away. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, after verse 13, it says this in verse 14. You may be there already. But after we are told that we have an escape, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, yes, verse 14. It says this, wherefore means for which reason. In other words, because you have an escape, because God is faithful and will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. For that reason, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Flee. That word flee there is great. You know what it means? To run with rapidity. You know what it means? Run away as fast as you can. If you got a problem with idolatry, Paul is telling them, the church of Corinth, you got a problem with idolatry, don't despair. You can escape it. But what he's telling them to do is run away from it as fast as you can. Get the idol out of there, out of your home. I mean, if you got an idol in your home, run away as fast as you can and ask your neighbor to come get it. You know? Or if there's that synagogue, he's telling them, where those goddesses and those gods and those idols are set up, and you frequent that place, the next time you find yourself in that place of worship, of idolatry, just run out of that building as fast as you can. Book it out of there. That's what he's telling him to do. To run with rapidity as from danger. And this is what flee means, to attempt to escape. That's what Paul's telling them. Don't just stand there when you're in the presence of temptation. Don't just look at it and say, I got a problem with this. This is something that I've struggled with before. This is something that it's likely I'm going to fall again for it, but I'm just going to hang out and see what happens. That's the exact opposite of what Paul's saying here. Paul is saying, get out of Dodge. Get out of there as quickly as you possibly can. Attempt to escape. You have to at least try to escape. Hasten from danger or the expected evil. These are the things that the Bible says, just a few of them. It instructs us to flee fornication. Run away from it. It says flee from idolatry. Run away from it. Flee youthful lusts. Run away when you are in the temptation of youthful lusts. Flee envy. Flee strife. Flee railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings. The Bible says this, to flee the love of money. You got a problem with money, that it is such a temptation for you that it will be your kind of your idol in your life, your pursuit, your dream and your vision and your drive. I'm going to work as much as I can, as many hours as I can. I'm going to strive to climb up the corporate ladder as well as I can, even if it costs me, even if it costs my family, even if it costs my relationship with God. Is that your temptation? Your love of money? You know what the Bible says? To flee that. Run away as fast as you can. Just run away. It's so simple. When a hawk is attacked by crows or birds, he does not make a counterattack. And hawks are something fierce. I don't know if you've ever seen a hawk up close. I just saw a video just yesterday where a car was driving down the thruway and literally hit a hawk. The hawk's head got stuck inside the grill, but it did not kill the hawk. So she stopped the car, and literally the hawk's head was in the grill, and he's flapping its wings and trying to get out, but he can't. So this man and woman had to literally help the hawk get out. And they actually did it. It was the neatest video. Some of you may have seen this. I don't know. But when they brought the hawk out, they were actually expecting the hawk to bite at them and go after them. But it must have been in such shock that it literally, they were using a screwdriver to help get the hawk out. The guy was holding the screwdriver, and the hawk was sitting on the bar of the screwdriver, not flying away. It was the coolest thing. And that beak, oh, wow. I mean, that beak, it's going to kill anything out there that it wants to, that squirrel or that rabbit or whatever it's going hunting for. Amazing creatures. But when a hawk is attacked by crows or kingbirds, he does not make a counterattack, but what he does is he soars higher and higher in ever-widening circles until his tormentors leave him alone. You know what a fierce predator does, a bird of the sky, when he is being taunted and when he is being attacked? He runs away. He flees. You know what he does? He flies higher and higher in ever-widening circles until his tormentors leave him alone. You know what we need to do when we are faced with temptations in our life? We need to go higher and higher. We need to get to God. We need to run away from sin and run to God. That's what we need to do, because therein lies our escape. What I'm encouraging you is this morning is don't give up on your opportunity to overcome temptation and have victory in your life. Don't give up in such a way where, and don't settle and say to yourself, I just can't do it. I can't overcome anger. I can't overcome bitterness. I can't overcome unforgiveness. I can't overcome wrath in my life, impatience, whatever it might be. It's just me. It's just who I am. So I'm just going to put up with it. Don't do that, because God has made a way for you to escape from every temptation that is brought into your life in such a way where you are able to bear it. And these are four ways of escape that you can use to be that escape artist, to be successful. Pray away. Hide the word of God away in your heart. Pass away and don't make provision for your flesh. And if you have to, just simply run away. Just get out. Run away as fast as you can. And run to God. These are our opportunities to escape temptation. Let's stand for prayer.